Start your day, the Torah. How about you, Yishai Lister?
Shalom Aleichem, everybody. Thank you very much for coming. My name is Yishai Lister, and we're going to This Is Hats Part 2. Last time we spoke about a few inyonim of hats, which are nogea almost every day. Mirtz Hashem, we're going to go through the similar thing again. Kaseida Shulchan Aruch, what I left out last time, what I put in this time. And Mirtz Hashem, everybody can walk out having learned something new. After the show, we're going to have a chazar of everything from start to finish. And Mirtz Hashem, everybody will walk out with everything and having learned something new. Here we go. Shulchan Aruch in Simon Yud, Sif Yud, says that a hat with four corners is potter from tzitzis. Not necessarily a hat, but even a headscarf that you might wear around your head, even though it's a square. It's got four corners, or maybe even more. It's potter from tzitzis. The pasuk said, the Shulchan Aruch says that the Torah says that it's k'suscha, your coverings, that need tzitzis. V'lo k'sus harosh, not the covering which goes around your head. Now, for this reason, the Aruch HaShulchan talks about a certain type of talis that looks like this. So I borrowed from a friend. This talis has something on it called an ataro. It's got a crown. It's got this silver lining, as it were, on the top, which makes the talis look very nice, very fancy. The Aruch HaShulchan takes issue with it in Simon Yud, Sif Yud. He says that it might be a problem. Why might it be a problem? Because the ikka of the talis, it looks like that the ikka of the talis goes around your head. In which case, if it's a talis which is made to go on your head, we've just said that something which is made to go on your head is potter from tzitzis. So if you're making a brocha on a talis which doesn't need tzitzis, it could be that it's a bracha levatola. The Oritza Sachayim Lahamalbim, the Levush, also bring down the same problem, that maybe it's not proper to have such a fancy silver covering on the headpiece of your talis, and maybe you should have something a bit more basic like this. A silk one that the Mishnah Berurah writes in Siman Yud, Sifkot and Lamed Gimel. This silk crown, the Mishnah Berurah writes, is only as a heker to remind which tzitzis go at the front and which tzitzis go at the back of your body. It might be a yurida for the mitzvah, which usually goes at the front, to now be put at the back, so you keep the back ones at the back, the right ones to the right, the left ones to the left, the front ones to the front. That's what this crown is for, to remind you which side you put the talis on and which side goes forward. So that's what Aruch HaShulchan says. You should not have one made of metal, because that makes the ikka part of the talis seem like the roish, and that something which goes on the roish. A hat is potter from tzitzis. The Oritza Sachayim Lahamalbim brings an eitzah. What to do if you really want to have this crown? You should have another crown around the middle of your talis, in which case both the top and the bottom are equal, and you can no longer say that the ikka goes on the roish. The Igros Moshe comes to defend the people that only have it. He says this talis is absolutely fine. What's the difference between a crown made of silver or a crown made of silk? They're both crowns. The Mishnah Berurah writes about a crown made of silk, that it's only as a heker. Don't think that it makes the ikka part of the talis, makes the talis into a hat. It's only as a heker. Rav Moshe says the same thing applies. Doesn't matter if you have a heker made of silk. Doesn't matter if you have a heker made of silver. Either way, it's only a heker. It doesn't make the hat, the talis, the main part being the head part, which would make it potter. But it's absolutely fine, says Rav Moshe in Chelek Hey, Simon Chof. The Imri Pinchos Karetz says Rav Moshe has got a point. What's the difference between a silk crown? What's the difference between a silver crown? The Imri Pinchos says both of them are a problem. So you should not have any crown on your talis whatsoever. And that which you might get the tzitzis mixed around and the wrong way around and inside out, that Arizal, the Mishnah Berurah brings in Simon Ches, Arizal was not makbid about this at all. Doesn't matter to have your tzitzis front ways, back ways, inside out, right to the left. Each string, it doesn't matter if it's not in the same position that it was all the time. There's no Yerida or Aliyah in the mitzvah. It's all a talis. It's okay. Now, the Leket HaKemach points out, which brings us on to the next topic, that if you get, when you get your keser, when you get your atoros sewn onto your talis, you have to go to an uman, a sewer, who's a yiras shamayim, in order that he doesn't come to sew the atorah on with linen, which might become a serious problem of kilayim, which brings me to my next point. This is a Russian hat. Sometimes people go to Kerestil, these European places, and they like to come back with souvenirs, or they like to fit in with hats like these. There could be serious problems with shatness. If you have wool and linen, the Rambam in Perek Yud Halacha Lamed from Hilchas Kelayim says every single moment that you could potentially take the hat off, which takes about this long, you're over another lav d'oraisa of Kelayim. This is a posuk in Vayikra, in Yud Tes, and Devorim Chof Beis Yud Aleph. It's brought as a chayk. We don't properly understand the reason behind this, but the Torah asks us wearing wool and linen together, whether it's on your body, whether it's on your head, and every single moment that you could potentially take it off, yet you don't, the Rambam says that you're over a lav d'oraisa of Kelayim. Now, even though Kelayim is a chayk, there's a few reasons, there's at least one reason brought by a few Rishonim, the Rambam, the Ramban al Torah. The Rambam in Moreh Nevuchim says, in Mitzrayim, the Ovdei Avodah Zorah, used to the priests of the Avodah Zorah, they used to wear specifically wool and linen for whatever reason. And in order to be marchik us from these priestly garments, in order to distance us away from the idea of Avodah Zorah, the Ramban writes that the Torah forbade us, this may be one of the many reasons for this chayk, to forbade us to wear the clothes that the priests to the Avodah Zorah in Mitzrayim used to wear. The Rakanti in Parshas Kedoshim says, for this reason, if you wear a hat like this, I'm not saying this hat's got kelayim, but if you wear a hat like this that does have kelayim for tefillah, which we mentioned last time, you wear a hat for tefillah, because you look like an Oved Avodah Zorah, the Malachim aren't mekabel your tefillahs, it can be a monea your tefillahs from being accepted. So if you're getting your Torah put onto your talis, or you're buying a hat like this, make sure it does not have shatness. Shatness, says the Rakanti, is the absolute enemy of tefillah. It stops tefillah being accepted in Shemayim, because you look like the Ovdei Avodah Zorah from Mitzrayim. The Kav Hayosha says, in Perek Mem Vav, he says, even if you're wearing the shatness b'shogeg, even if you don't realize, you have no idea, you're wearing shatness, it still stops your tefillahs from being niskabel. Now, the Chochmas Odom in Klal Kuf Vav, he says that a Yirish Shemayim won't wear wool begodim whatsoever in order to avoid the problem of shatness. I'm not sure if it's such an accepted custom nowadays, since we have efficient checking methods and manufacturers often put product information on the labels of our clothes in this day and age, that the Chochmas Odom brings an idea that a Yirish Shemayim won't wear wool begodim at all in order to avoid this severe issa d'oraisa of shatness. Now, this is where not a lot of people know this. I saw brought down, this is where the minhag to wear a bekisha comes from. A bekisha is a beged made completely, or at least it used to be made completely of silk. This was worn specifically on Shabbos, where all people used to wear their finest clothing on Shabbos, and these fine clothes often contained wool. So a few Hasidim and Shemaisa took upon themselves that at least on Shabbos, when everybody tends to wear wool, they would distance themselves completely from wool in order to gain this chumra of the Chochmas Odom, to never wear wool begodim, and they would only wear on Shabbos, they'd only wear silk. And some people, back in the day at least, were machmit, were bekisha the whole week long in order to avoid any shilas of shatness. Now, this brings us, not quite, we spoke last time about what happens if your hat falls off your head into the street, onto a car. What happens if it falls down onto the pavement or onto a car and you manage to get it off the car, like we spoke out last time, and it's got a bit dirty and it's Shabbos? How can you clean your hat? It's a nice hat. You don't want to walk into shul looking dirty and manuvled it. You want to stand in front of Hashem be-covered. Can you clean your hat? So I've got a nice hat over here. Let's say this got a bit dirty on Shabbos. Now, there's four ways you can get dirt off the hat, which is brought in the poskim. You can shake it, you can blow it, or you can pat it lightly with your hand. Another way is you can scrape dirt away with your fingernail or a knife. Or there's a fourth way of washing, which you dip the hat in water, or you rub it very hard, or both at the same time. We're going to do through these four categories. First category is shaking. Second category is lightly blowing or lightly tapping. Third category is scraping. And the fourth category is dipping in water and rubbing, or rubbing extremely hard, even without water. Let's go through these four categories now of what you can and can't do on Shabbos. First category of shaking. The Ramah says, if your clothing is black or new, black all new, then it's a problem even to shake it. We're worried that it's considered a Maisa Choshev, especially on black begodim where dirt seems to show up extremely well. Therefore, the poskim machmir for black or new beged, you can't even shake it on Shabbos. You have to leave the dirt as is. You can't touch it. My Rebbe in Yeshiva used to call them stark marks. When you come into davening on Shabbos with dirt on your hat, it shows that you're very strong, that you overcame the temptation to brush the dirt off. Now, what does a new beged mean? What does it mean when it's new? The Mishnah Berurah says, I don't know. He says, the poskim don't say, which means because of the Meleches Shabbos, you have to go extremely machmir. Kol's man that its epis looks nice, and you can't brush it off. What does black mean? There's a bit of a tumult in the poskim as well. Rabbi Falk wants to say anything which is dark shows up dirt. So anything which is not brightly coloured, even though it's brown, maybe like this hat, or this is definitely hopefully still black, then you can't brush off the dirt, even through shaking. Now the Mishnah Berurah says that which you can't brush off the dirt if it's black or new, it's specifically if you remove all the dirt. If you have a bit of dust remaining, it doesn't matter how new it is or how dark it is, the Mishnah Berurah says it's still okay to shake. So I'm assuming most times that you get dirt on your hat, just a simple shake wouldn't get all the dust off, in which case it could very well be mutter, the Be'er Halacha brings in Siman Shin Beis, it could very well be mutter. So long as you're not completely cleaning the hat, it would be mutter at least to try and shake the dirt off, since some of the dirt is going to be remained. The next category after shaking is lightly tapping with your hand. You've shaken it, nothing really happened. Now you want to lightly tap it with your hand or give it a quick blow. Now Rav Shlomo Zalman writes in Kiddush Shabbos Kol Chosah that lightly tapping with your hand is the same as shaking it. So anything which we spoke about before, as long as you're going to leave a bit of dirt behind, even if it's new or black or dark coloured, Rav Shlomo Zalman says you can lightly tap it with your hand, you can rub it gently with your hand or a dry cloth, someone to say, not only your hand, you can even use a dry rag to lightly pat away any dust, any dirt that might be on your hat. Now what happens if you have something a bit tougher to get off? You've got a stain, a bit of mud on your hat. I'm not talking about where the mud is dry, because that might get into problems of tochein, of grinding. But let's say you've got a wet bit of cholent fell onto your hat, or a bit of muddy water, and you want to scrape it away. Now, the general rule is, if the bit of dirt, if you scrape it away, it won't completely clean the hat. Again, it's okay. The Mishnah Berurah says, if it will completely clean the hat, if you scrape it off, that makes it a Maisa Choshev of Liban, in which case you cannot do it. The Taz disagrees. He says, so long as your hat is not new or black, even if you scrape it off and it comes completely off, it's okay, so long as the reason why you're scraping it off is not because you necessarily want your hat to be clean. The Taz says, and the Mishnah Berurah doesn't even like this, Taz says, if you're cleaning your hat or any other clothing that's not black and not new, for the simple reason that you want to be able to daven. For example, let's say you've got a bit of tzoya, something not nice, something dirty on you, and you can't daven with this speck, you wouldn't necessarily mind, but for the sake of davening, you want to take it off to remove halachic implications, stop halachic gedorim stopping you daven, then you're able to scrape it off with your nail, even if nothing will be left, so long as it's a little bit, it's not black, and you're not cleaning it because you want it to be clean, you're cleaning it so that you can daven. And the fourth level of dunking it in water or rubbing it extremely hard to get the dust off, to get it completely off, this is Osa with all begodim. I've got a hat which is not black and certainly not new, which is this hat. Let's say this hat. So for example, let's talk about the difference with this. If I were to shake the hats, if I were to get the dust completely off, this would be mutter, and this would be Osa because it's black and it's new. And Nissim Karelit says, what does new mean? New means, if it's nikah, that it's a beged Shabbos. I remember one time I spilt a bit of cholent at a Shabbos meal on my shirt. Somebody said, why didn't you take your fingernail and scrape it off? I said, I'm worried that the whole stain might come off. And even though I'm not makbid on it, because it's a beged Shabbos, it's got a din of chadosh, in which case I'm not allowed to clean it even a little, to get the dirt completely off. So shaking your hats, if it's like this, you can, so long as a bit of dirt will remain. If it's like this, you can, even if no dirt will remain. Patting lightly with your hand is, or blowing is the same thing. This you can, so long as a bit of dirt will remain. And this you can, even if no dirt will remain. What happens if I want to scrape it? This you can, if a bit of dirt will remain. And this you can, and if either taz, even if no dirt will remain. And if no dirt will remain, according to the Mishnah Berurah, this you can't. And dunking them both in water, you definitely can't, either hat, and rubbing it very hard in order to get the dirt off, both of them also you can't, that's considered a proper lib. And we're going to go through this again at the end, in case anybody didn't get it. Moving on, what happens if you're walking down the street and your hat blows off again, and it lands on a tree? On Shabbos, can you take it down from the tree? This is a shaila, which again makes my blood turn cold. It's very scary when this happens. What can you do? So a bit of introduction to this. The Gemara says you cannot be mishtamish be'ilon. Why can't you be mishtamish be'ilon? Because we're scared, shemo yale ve'yitlosh. We're scared you might climb the tree and you might come to pluck some things off, whether it's the branches or whether it's fruit. Not only this, the Ramon Shin Lamed Aleph Sif Aleph says it's also to take something down from the tree because we're scared that you might come to lean on the tree, use the tree, pluck from the tree. You're not even allowed to take something down from the tree, even if you're not going to take it with your hands. You get a long stick and you want to try poke a football out the tree. That's also not allowed. Why? Because the Mishnah Berurah again says you might lean on it. You might come to use it. What happens if your hat blows on the tree? And I'm walking down Berney Road, it happens sometimes, and the tree zooms past with a Manchester wind and sweeps my hat off my head and takes it 6 feet into the air. What should I do? I'm stuck. I can't move. What can I do? So the poskim talk about this shaila. What should you do if your hat ends up on a tree on Shabbos? The Mogen Avraham has mentioned, Shin Lamed Vav at the beginning there, that the only gezeirah applies to taking things from the tree that you might come to lean on the tree. That applies to things which you usually leave in the tree. For example, a hammock. But my hat, hopefully, isn't usually in the trees. The Mogen Avraham also brings the Rosh. The Issa Hishtamshus is not the Etz and the Tilas Achefetz. The Issa Hishtamshus is because I might come to climb up. Taking my hat off the tree does not give me a sudden urge to race up the tree like a squirrel. The Makor Chaim says that the Gezerah is not about taking an object without touching the tree. The Makor Chaim says that the only gezeirah is when you're taking something down and you need to move something out of the way to get it down. So if you're just taking your hat off the tree without actually touching the tree, the Makor Chaim says it's absolutely fine. And we've also got a heter, maybe of Kavod Abrius, is everybody standing around laughing at you that your hat's up a tree? There could be a heter of Kavod Abrius, which is Deicha Ulda Rabbanon, in order to take it down. So we've got three things that can make it possible to take your hat off the tree. If you don't touch the tree, you've gained the Makor Chaim, which is absolutely mutter. It's not something which is usually up a tree, in which case the Rosh says the Gezerah doesn't apply at all, and because you won't come to lean on the tree by taking something which is not usually left on the tree. And furthermore, the Gezerah only really apply to things which are usually left in a tree. So because it's not your hat's not usually left in a tree, because you won't come to climb on the tree by taking your hat because it happened by mistake, and the third reason, because you're not going to touch the tree when you remove your hat, and also because of Kavod Habrius, the poskim say you can take your hat from the tree and you can walk away victorious. Now what you can't do is, let's put the car and the tree together. The car from last time, he said, what happens if you have a big branch, which is 4x4 tefachim and quite high off the ground? We said last time, if your hat blows into Rishis HaYochid, you have to climb into the Rishis HaYochid, put your hat on, and then walk away. You can't climb onto a tree on Shabbos either. So if your hat blows onto a tree, a branch, which is 4x4 tefachim, this is a big branch, we're talking quite huge, like the trunk of a tree, a hat blows onto the trunk of a tree, you can't take it off, because that would be hotzah from Rishis HaYochid to Rishis HaRabim, and you also can't climb on to get your hat and wear it off, because then you'll be climbing up a tree. If you did that, the Shulchan Aruch says you can't come down till after Shabbos, so you can have your hat, but you're stuck up a tree, so you're stuck. So what should you do? Or a bush. Yeah, so your hat lands on a bush. So what should you do in this case? If you have a handy chair with you in the Rishus HaRabim that you weren't... Also, if it's an Oshisayoche, then it's if you hold. This is all when you don't hold of the Eruv. If you hold of the Eruv, it's fine. But let's say you don't hold of the Eruv, and you're in an Oshis Harabim, and now the hat blows onto a hedge or a big branch, which is 4x4 tefachim, which is classified as an Oshisayoche. How can you get your hat down? I'm not sure how you can get your hat down.
If he's in the Oshisayoche, he's putting the hat on his head, so the Oshisayoche should be easier.
But how can you go in the bush?
He goes onto the bush. There's a big branch. If he goes under the brush, he's in.
But how's he going to get his hat off the bush? He can't be. Yeah, but how's he going to get it off the bush? You have to not touch the bush while getting. So if you have really long arms. I don't know if it's practical. So I'm not sure what you'd have to do. If it were me, I would ask a goy to get it down. Maybe you can hint to him, I can't reach my hat. Hopefully he won't think you're. Or maybe you can go into the house. And then take it right, but let's say it's not in. But what happens if there's a wall on the other side, or it's not? So if it's in somebody's house, you can go into their front garden, maybe ask them permission, and then you can take it off without touching the bush, and you're moving it from Rosh Hashayochid, and it's remaining in the Rosh Hashayochid, which is his front garden, as long as you can make sure it's a Rosh Hashayochid. Some front gardens aren't. The front wall has to be more than 10 tefachim, which is about this high. About as high as a table, which a lot of places aren't. So if it's in a front garden, then yeah. But if it's in a mamish Rosh Hashanah, a bush in the middle of the street, then you should ask a goy to take it off. I'm not sure. Now moving on to chilek. Pardon? So we're assuming that you've got, you can go like this, so you can put your kapel on, but that wouldn't be a heter to take the hat off the tree on Shabbos. Now we're moving on to Bedikas Chometz. I saw a very interesting picture this morning of Rav Chaim Kanievsky doing Bedikas Chometz on the inside of his strimal. I was wondering what could be why would somebody be doing Bedikas Chometz on his strimal? So I looked into it a bit. In Siman Tof Lamed Gimel Sif Gimel, the Mishnah Berurah says, the Shulchan Aruch, sorry, says, Kol Mokum Sheish Locha Shema Hichnisu Behem Chometz Yechayev Livdok. Any place where there might be Chometz, you're chayev to check it. Now Rav Chaim used to wear his strimal in his house during meals. Now I'm assuming Rav Chaim sometimes took his strimal off. And maybe put his strimal, this isn't a strimal, but he put his strimal on the table. Maybe he had a few donuts there, a few things that got stuck to the inside of his hat, and he took his strimal off and put it over here without checking the inside of it. Could very well be that there's chometz inside his hat. He put it in a place where there's usually chometz on the table, in which case, the chayra, if you haven't checked it since then, or maybe even if you have, it's a mokum shemachnisa bo chometz, maybe we should all be checking the inside of our hats. I know the poskim say we should be checking the inside of our pockets, maybe the inside of our hats, especially if you put them down on a chometz sticker table, might be a good place to be checking for chometz. Now, we mentioned cleaning your hats. Are we allowed to clean our hats during the 9 days? Are we allowed to clean our hats on Chol HaMoed? So Rav Eliyoshiv says you can brush your hat on Chol HaMoed. Rav Nissim Karelit says you can brush your hat during the 9 days. How come? Rav Nissim Karelit explains that any cleaning which doesn't involve water regarding the 9 days and Chol HaMoed is not considered cleaning. He says even if it does require water, let's say you get a stain on your shirt or stain on your hat and you want to take off the stain, if you rub it with a damp cloth, if it's not wet enough to make the shirt soaking wet, then it's also mutter. So long as it doesn't contain a choshev amount of water, it's mutter to clean, spot clean your stains. It's mutter to brush your hat, your shoes, your shirt, whatever you want to, your jacket, whatever you want to brush. But Igros Moshe writes about nikra yovesh. He writes about dry cleaning. He says dry cleaning, even though it doesn't involve water, because most people classify this as a choshev cleaning, that would be a problem during the 9 days and Chol HaMoed, even though it doesn't involve water. I know somebody mentioned here as he walked in Hat Solah, there's a business here called Hats Solar, which cleans your hat, professionally conditions your hat. I wonder if this would be mutter during the 9 days and Chol HaMoed, because this is a professional act of cleaning. Maybe it fits into what Rav Moshe describes as dry cleaning, which would be a problem during the 9 days and Chol HaMoed. Now, I brought in a menorah. Many of you are probably wondering, what on earth am I doing with a menorah during a hat shear in Iyar? So, I'm going to answer the question like this. I was once in yeshiva, and my mashgiach was saying that the gedolim get bothered with all sorts of things, and sometimes it's good to be a hidden tzaddik, sometimes it's good not to reveal your colors. He said, sitting by Rav Eliyoshiv once, and somebody asked Rav Eliyoshiv, should I put my hat brim down like this, or should I put my hat brim down like this? He says, these are the questions that people ask the gedolim. So you don't want to be driven meshuggah, leave it. So I was thinking to myself, it's taka, good question, what's the answer? And he said, I didn't hear the answer, I wasn't there, I was just in such a fit that people were asking such questions. So I was thinking to myself, Lamai says halacha on siman beis, which says that you should put your right sleeve through before your left sleeve. You should put your right shoe on before your left shoe. This man was asking, I think, a really legitimate question. I've got a hat on, I want to go from the right to the left. How do I go from the right to the left? And when the answer came to me, as I was thinking of my hat, as I was going through Shulchan Aruch, I opened up to Hilchas Chanukah. How do we light our menorahs? I think this will shed a bit of light on the correct way to put your hat brim down. Now the Shulchan Aruch says, we go from left, we light from left to right. So your first candle goes here, second candle here, third night, fourth night, fifth night, and we light from left to right. Heading, the Shulchan Aruch says you want to head towards the right. So we start from the left, and with Pino Leomen, we go this way. We light going from left to right. And that's how we head towards the right. It makes sense. The Taz comes along and he says, no, 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 you got it wrong. We light from right to left. We're meant to start at the right. And it happens to be we have to head towards that. So he says, first night you light this one, then this one, then this one, then this one. And we light from right to left. So the Shulchan Aruch says we light from left to right. We're heading towards the right. And the Taz says, we start at the right. And it happens to be we head towards the left. So this is a big machlok as Poskim brought in the Shulchan Aruch and the Be'er Halacha on Tofresh Ayin Vav, how we should light our menorahs. Everybody should stick to their minhag. I'm not coming to say you should change. The Levush comes along and says, I have a raya for the Taz, that you should start from the right and you head towards the left. Let's look at the Sefer Torah. The writing of the Sefer Torah, l'chora, fits in with this halacha. It goes from right to left. So we should be lighting from right to left, and you should put your hat brim down from right to left. That was my right. From right to left. I'm not sure exactly, but we're sticking to Beis Hillel now. The Eliyahu Rabbah says to the Levush, I don't understand what you're saying. You're saying we should go from right to left because of the Ksav of the Sefer Torah. Let's take a deeper look at the Ksav of the Sefer Torah. When I write a letter, which side of the parchment do I start off with? Picture a resh in your mind. How do you write a resh? You write a resh starting from the left and heading towards the right. So the Eliyahu Rabbah says, you Levush say that the writing in the Sefer Torah goes from right to left. I have arrived that the actual letters of the writing of the Sefer Torah go from left to right. There are those, the Malbushe Yom Tov says that in Shomayim, we have Aleph Beis Gimel, they have Tov Shin Reish Kuf. It goes backwards in Shomayim. The writing also might go backwards. We have no idea what the writing is like, Lifnei HaKiseh HaKovod, in which case we can't bring any rayas from here. Do I have time for one more? Or should I start the Chazorah? Two minutes till the Chazorah, or 2 minutes till...
3 minutes.
We mentioned that there's such a thing as an Atarah. I wanted to ask anybody, has anybody ever seen one of these made of gold? Has anybody ever seen... So, okay, I'm glad. But Moshe writes about an Atarah. He says it's okay whether it's made of gold, whether it's made of silver. I was thinking to myself as I read this Shuvah, I've never seen one made of gold. Why might that be? So I was reminded of a halacha in Siman Tov Reish Yud. It says, if you have begodim made of gold, there's an idea. The Mishnah Berurah says you should not wear them on Yom Kippur. Why shouldn't you wear them on Yom Kippur? Because of Emas Hadin. You shouldn't kit out in your best wear for something which you should be scared of. A bit of anov, a bit of humility. You shouldn't wear your best gold. This is talking about wearing your best things. If you usually wear these things, this is my Shabbos belt. And these used to be my Shabbos glasses. You shouldn't be wearing your best things. That's what the Mishnah Berurah says. It doesn't necessarily mean gold. It can even mean silver if it's your best things. Now, Rebbe Kiva Eger has a Haggah on the Shulchan Aruch there. He says you should not wear gold on Yom Kippur because Shemoy Osi Katega Katega. We don't want to wear things gold which remind Hashem of the Egel Hazahov. Now, the Heintiker Poskim, the Shut B'Tzal Chochma, writes about this. He says this is not talking about gold glasses, gold watches, gold belts. He says this is specifically talking about white clothes which represent kapora and having gold on the white clothes. Having gold on something which represents kapora, that is a problem. So, maybe that's why we don't have our Torahs. Right, but Rebbe Kiva Eger says this applies to us in our shuls. We shouldn't be wearing gold on something which is white. So I thought maybe this is why year-round we don't have gold atorahs on our white talesim, and this is why maybe nobody's ever seen an atorah made of gold. So now I'm going to do a very quick chazorah of everything, and any questions you can come to me afterwards. I don't want to go too over time. So we've said that a mitznefes, a hat, is potter from tzitzis. We spoke about wearing an atorah on your talis. That might be a problem of making your talis in the ikka being the hat, in which case it's potter from tzitzis. This is a question from the Orach HaShulchan, the Levush, the Orach Chaim, the Amalbim. The Igros Moshe writes that it's okay, it's fine, it's just not like you wear a silk crown. So you can wear a silver crown, it doesn't make a difference what it's made of. The Imri Pinchos Karet says it doesn't make a difference what it's made of, so don't wear any crown whatsoever. A few Hasidim and Shemaisa don't have any crown whatsoever. We also had another eight says if you want to have a silver crown, you can have another silver crown around your body as well. That would negate the crown on the head. We spoke about kelayim, the chashash of kelayim. If you buy a hat like this, make sure it's got no kelayim. We spoke about the makor, why people wear bekishas, because of the chumra of the chochmas odom, that you shouldn't wear wool. We spoke about liban on Shabbos. We spoke about four madregas. Bekitza, the fourth madrega of dunking it in water and scrubbing it very hard, we said it's osa. All other things, the nir, the shaking it, lightly patting it, or scraping with your fingernail, the bottom line is, even if it's new, so long as a little bit of dirt will remain, you're not using water, it's okay. We spoke about if your hat is up a tree, we said it's okay to remove it because of a few things, one of them being kovat habrias. We spoke about bedikas chometz, maybe you should be checking the inside of your hat. So Rav Chaim checked the inside of his trimal. Said it's mutter to brush your hat during Chol HaMoed and the 9 days. And we spoke about which way you should put your hat brim down. Afi the Shulchan Aruch, it should be left to right. And according to the Taz, the Raya from Hilchos Menorah should be right to left. You shouldn't wear gold on Yom Kippur. You shouldn't be wearing your best jewelry. But even if it's not your best jewelry, you shouldn't be wearing gold on a white item of clothing on Yom Kippur. Shkayach.